everybody. Bill Buckmaster. Our theme music, I didn't get a chance last Friday to do a shout-out. It's from Christophon. He's my friend from Munich, Germany, who composed original music for the Buckmaster Show. We do appreciate that very much. On the other side of the glass is a fine young man who does just a really good job for us in making sure all the buttons are pushed. It used to be we'd have a dial on the board, the spin in the right direction. Anyway, Ray Allen on the other side of the glass, producing and engineering the show on this Thursday, March 30th, winding down as the pretty much the first quarter of the year, just about in the history books, coming to you from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. It is a talkback show. That means you're entitled to call at 790-2040. Not only entitled, but we encourage you, and especially when we have a Pima County supervisor with us in the studio. Ramon Valadez is here from representing District Number 2. Supervisor Valadez, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for the invitation to join you today.
You were at a meeting, a pretty important meeting to a lot of people in the southern part of the metropolitan area. There are some really dangerous intersections in this town and in that area that are going to get addressed.
Yeah, Bill, as a matter of fact, we in the unincorporated Pima County area, Drexel and Benson is the number one most dangerous intersection. It's had over 70... accidents in the last 10 years. Ooh. And several pedestrian accidents as well. So it's rated number one. And then a little bit up the road in Benson and Craycroft is the fourth most dangerous intersection. We just had a initial public meeting this week to really kind of put out the word because of the danger represented by those two intersections. We actually looked and we're able to find resources to be able to address those going forward.
What are you going to do at those intersections?
They're going to be redesigned because particularly Benson and Drexel, the number one most dangerous intersection, has a skew if you're going eastbound of almost 140 degrees. Mm. And you're having to look both ways in order to get across at Benson highway speeds. Mm-hmm. So it's clearly very dangerous. So what we're going to do is for pedestrian traffic, there's going to be a hawk with a pedestrian crossing. Mm. So it's segmented into two. Mm. For vehicular traffic, there's going to be an indirect left. When we did the analysis, that was actually the safest approach and most cost-effective approach to dealing with that issue. And there's a similar approach up the street at Benson and Craycroft as well.
Your transportation director, Ms. Cornelio, was with me here in studio this week. She's clearly frustrated. She just doesn't have the money to do everything she needs to do. She has made a lot of progress filling potholes, but it's a frustrating situation when she looks at her neighbors in the city. People are saying, hey, these city roads are looking good. She's saying she just doesn't have the funding right now.
Well, our friends in the city were able to pass a bond a couple of years ago that's helped address that, and they've done a good job at beginning that address. So kudos to them. Unfortunately, we had money in the bond in 2015 to try and address about $160 million to try and begin addressing what is regionally probably a $1 billion problem, and when that failed. Those resources weren't there. We've tried a number of approaches, as we may have read in the newspaper or heard through some other means. The legislature and the chair of transportation, I believe in the Senate, was actually trying to get something done, and certainly has done a good job at beginning that discussion. But we're a long way from actually having resources, any additional resources to address the issue.
And the governor's budget actually again sweeps some of that highway user funds.
You know, last year he had agreed and honored his word to not sweep some of the HERF funds, for which obviously goes to the cities and the counties to address that issue. Unfortunately, in his recommended budget to the legislature this year, he swept a substantial amount of money to fund DPS. And what most people don't know is there's actually a law on the books that says that amount can't be over $10 million. And we're talking in the tune, I believe, about $90, $96 million at this point. The law, the way the legislature gets around that law is they say, notwithstanding that law, we're going to take this money.
Hmm. So the counties are left holding the bag.
And the cities.
And the cities for doing any kind of using funding for the road improvements. We are doing some, Ms. Cornelio pointed out that the pothole repair has kept up a little bit, much more so than in years past.
A number of years ago, the board actually made a very conscientious effort to address the issue and make sure that going forward, we were even more attentive to dealing with those issues, because obviously if we let a road deteriorate through a pothole, the repair costs escalate even further. So it's either you spend a little up front or you spend a lot in the end.
Ramon Valdez with us, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. Looking back at the situation, the big dust-up over Monsanto, what can we say for sure now about what is the reality of the Monsanto situation?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, Monsanto does own the land.
Near Marana.
And they have they are either in the process or have acquired the permits they need to begin building. If you recall, the part that the county was playing in that is that they were asking us to be part of a pilot program where their property tax levy, their bill essentially, mm-hmm. Was reduced through that pilot program. And any participant in a pilot program had to send a letter of no objection with their application for the designation for the free trade designation. Or foreign trade designation.
Foreign trade zone.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what they ended up doing is they said, okay, we're going to pay the full levy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not asking Pima County to be part of the pilot. Mm-hmm. And we no longer need a letter of no objection. And they had the letter of no objection from the other parties that were going to be part of the pilot. So at this point, it didn't need to be an agenda item. It was pulled from the agenda, but that's where it's at this point.
And they own this 155-acre parcel, so they can basically, it's their property, they can go ahead and do their business.
Yes.
However, folks do want to see some kind of a scientific study of what's going to be going on out there.
Well, if you recall, part of why I thought might be a good idea for us to get involved is we had a memorandum of understanding. What that is a written agreement between the county and Monsanto that was going to allow two committees, one of which was going to be a scientific review committee that monitored the operations there on the facility and reported back to the county and county citizens, as well as the board, obviously. So that we knew scientifically what was going on. And another was going to be a citizens committee that we had agreed was going to be composed of those people who were objecting to Monsanto, because those are the ones we wanted to make sure kept an eye on, Monsanto, who were going to work together with the science committee
to
do that report.
So you felt it'd be better to be an inside player than looking on the outside from this time?
I don't know that I would call it an inside.
Inside, that you'd have some kind of... I don't know, leverage or voice?
Well, I'm an engineer and I was taught with black boxes, so I'm not real fond of when I can't look in and find out what's going on. I like to know what's in there and what's
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always favor transparency and always favor knowing mm-hmm. to not knowing.
Mm-hmm. 790-2040 for Ramon Valdez, 12:13 on this Thursday afternoon. There's been, you know, talking about Monsanto, and this wasn't necessarily an economic, well, in some ways it's an economic development issue, but there's a lot of complaints from a certain sector of the community that doesn't think we should be giving any kind of economic incentives to a business. In other words, let them, if they want to come here, let them pay their own way. What do you say?
Well, I'll tell you what, in today's modern world, if you don't work to try and figure things out with potential employers in your region, you're probably not going to get job growth. Last year, in the last 6 months, our metropolitan statistical area, so our region, was ranked third in the country by percentage job growth that we had in the last 6 months of last year. The real trick is to make sure that our taxpayers, our constituents, on the net gain, and we don't lose in those deals. I mean, we've talked about a number of deals, and part of our responsibility is to make sure that we do everything we can to make sure that again, net gain for our region, not a net loss.
Let's go to the live line. I think we have Roberta with us. Hey, Roberta, how are you?
Hi, Bill. Well, I'm here.
Yeah, you're back in town. Good to have you here.
Well, I've been in town all along.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah, I don't go anywhere. I wish I could join that committee, but I can't.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say that Dr. Theron Randolph, who measured the output of toxic chemicals, said that they blow for 100 miles all around in every direction from which they come, and that no building is airtight, that any building that has chemicals will put those chemicals into the air for 100 miles around. The wind may blow in one direction, but it circulates, and it circulates in every direction.
Okay, and I know, Roberta, you're very sensitive to any chemical exposure.
And there's lots of people living in that area that are also.
Okay, thank you, Roberta. Go ahead, Supervisor.
Well, yeah, and it goes back again to why I felt it was so important to remove the black box and know what was going on in there. I know that a couple of us are trying to see if we can still make that happen, and we'll see going forward whether or not we're successful in that effort.
All right, let's take our break right here, 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2044. Ramon Valadez will be right back with the supervisor.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, the Friday Roundtable features Luigi Del Porto of Arizona Capital Times, Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic, and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Green Things, one of our fine sponsors, reminding all of our listeners about the free workshop tomorrow. They're doing them at Friday now at 1 in the afternoon. I believe irrigation systems, the topic for tomorrow over at Green Things. Jan and Jack have taken the original 3 or 4 acres. That is now a destination property, 3384 East River Road. Supervisor Valdez, you've been over there. You know that area along the Rito. That is a beautiful area.
It is, and it's a great nursery, too.
It is a great nursery, and they're just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 3384 East River Road. The website, greenthingsaz.com. All of our plants are just looking so good. Are all Green Things plants. Put the fertilizer on a couple of weeks ago, Ramon, and things are looking really good. And it's because the Green Things plants are raised right here. So it's like when you take them home and you plant them, it's like, oh, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I'm a Tucsonan or Pima County plant, and I'm ready to go. Anyway, you were one of the original board members on the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA, and you're still the county's representative.
Right. When the discussions about having a Regional Transportation Authority began, I'm actually the only member that is left from that original board.
What is the major issue facing the RTA, do you see at this point?
Well, I would tell you that there are probably two. If you recall back in 2006 when we did the RTA, the RTA plan itself was based on over 250 meetings of the Citizens Advisory Committee and citizens that developed the plan, and the RTA board said, okay, we're going to go forward with that. And then what ended up happening is every legislative body in Pima County voted unanimously to support the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that discussion occurred, pavement preservation wasn't as pressing an issue as it is today. Mm-hmm. So that it never addressed pavement preservation because it never came up.
Mm-hmm. It was new projects.
It was mm-hmm. Mobility and capacity building.
Right.
And so today, fast forward to today and over the last several years, pavement preservation has become the number one issue.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the issue is going forward, how as a regional transportation authority do we deal with that? And frankly, find the funds regionally to address it. And number two, even though 2026 is when the existing RTA expires, that we have begun having discussions. And obviously, when the time comes to start having those discussions publicly, it will be a citizen-driven process the same way it was before. But we're going to have to come up with a real approach as to how we're going to deal with pavement preservation combined with public transit, combined with I don't know that capacity building is going to be an issue at that point,
mm-hmm.
but how to balance and address those issues and address them in such a way that they're dealt with going forward, not merely the roads get repaired and sit there another 20 years and get in the same condition.
The public hearings will begin very shortly in a month or two about the different department heads. Always, they traditionally come before Supervisor Valdez and your colleagues, and it's a safe bet to say that each of the department heads will be, well, they won't be asking for less money, let's put it that way. They'll be asking for more for their budget. How does the budget picture look as we get ready for a new fiscal year?
Look, what we're doing, what we're looking in terms of the growth in the assessed value. And I think I've been on the show and we've talked about it before. Since the Great Recession, we saw a drop of 1/4 of the overall assessed value. Prior to then, if most of us remember the savings and loan crisis with Charlie Keating and everybody else at the end of the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. That drop that we saw in assessed value was 0.1%. And we're talking about 1/4 of our assessed value that we saw since the Great Recession drop. And what we saw is that we saw it level out, and now we're seeing slow growth. So it's a slow growth pattern that we're in. And frankly, why it was so important to get our economic development efforts going so quickly. Obviously, that's also tied to an increase in the AV, in the assessed value. I'm sorry. I shouldn't use letters. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a slow rise in the assessed value of Pima County. So we can probably look at a small increase. What we're seeing on the other side, on the expenditure side, is the retirement systems for the state, of which our employees are part of.
The pension
system. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that the ASRS, the Arizona mm-hmm. Retirement System, mm-hmm. Their increase was minimal. It was roughly about $50,000-$60,000. So it's not much of a hit. It's the largest of the systems because it covers all the employees other than public safety and elected officials and corrections officers. What we're seeing, however, in the PSPRS, which is the Public Safety Retirement System, which tends to be firefighters and police officers, is a increase well over $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever slow growth we see, either a high percentage or a lot of that increase is probably going to go to that particular expense because we're seeing that growth being disproportionately high.
So for the average property tax resident, property tax payer, who knows how it will be? Hopefully it won't go up.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're a supervisor and you lower taxes and people love you, and do you ever want to raise them?
Absolutely not. No, no. That's
what people don't understand. Obviously, if we have the opportunity to lower property tax rate, that's what we want to do.
Yeah.
I don't know of a single supervisor who wants to raise property taxes.
Yeah, political suicide, as they say. How about the worldview situation? Being appealed from the first court decision, did not go the way the county wanted. So now it's in the next level.
Well, it was one of six petitions on the part of the Goldwater Institute, and only one of them did the judge actually render a favorable opinion. But here's the confusion. I think people have been led to believe that there's this one statute and the county is voluntarily choosing to violate the statute. When the truth is, there's that statute, and there's another statute that says for economic development purposes, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So the truth is that there's two conflicting statutes, and frankly, that's what the Court of Appeals and Supreme Court is for, is to decide how we're supposed to operate. Now, here's the irony, Bill. As you remember, there are seven different instances, and we have them cited in our memo that's available on the Pima County website. There are seven different instances in Maricopa County where communities in Maricopa County use the exact same statute for economic development over the last 10 years and not one peep by the Goldwater Institute. So people can make their own decision what that's about.
Meanwhile, Worldview seems to be moving forward.
Absolutely. We had a dedication of the property. And yes, they're moving forward. They've gotten a number of additional contracts, and I think they are a good tenant in terms of our aerospace research center. And I have very high hopes for them. I think you've talked to Jane and Tabor as well.
Yes, we had a whole half hour with them. Very impressive people.
Not only impressive people, but really visionaries in terms of what they're doing in terms of the aerospace industry, but also in terms of how they're helping us as a community kind of shift into that kind of economic development as well. And obviously Vector's a big part of that. Raytheon's a big part of that. And there are a number of other interested companies in the pipeline looking at coming here.
Yeah, that Vector is doing big things. They just announced, they had a news conference down at Cape Canaveral. They're going to be doing a private launch of a rocket.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, at the end of January, there was Aerospace Day up at the state legislature.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Well, Vector took one of the rockets down the freeway system in Phoenix, apparently had a helicopter following it for the news. So it was all over the news. And if you actually want to see the people's reaction as this 50-foot rocket goes down the I-10 and the freeway system in Maricopa County, it's a good entertainment.
All right, Supervisor Valadez, hope the rest of the week goes well for you and have a good weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, you too.
12:30, are the allergies bothering you? Dr. Mark Sneller will be with us right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine, Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I want to have you mark your calendars for the Memorial Day weekend, the 22nd annual Silver City Blues Festival. If you are into blues, and a lot of people really are, dedicated following, Ghost Town Blues Band out of Memphis will be the headliner this year. Silver City's an easy drive, 3 hours east of Tucson, and this is a free event over the Memorial Day weekend. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, the fine listings of great places to stay and the many things to do in Silver City over there. You'll have a great outing, I'm sure, in Silver City. Joining me in studio, Mr. Dr. Mark Sneller. Dr. Sneller is the founder of Aeroallergen Research, and he is the author of Greener, Cleaner Indoor Air, and recently he got into some literary work with a novel called Toxic Exposure. There's a follow-up book to that coming out in a couple of months called Dying to Read. And meanwhile, Toxic Exposure, Dr. Sneller, is doing very well. It's available at Amazon.com. How are you?
I'm very excellent. Thank you, Bill. Good. Always good to be here.
Dr. Sneller was the official Pima County Pollen and Mold Monitor until budget cuts ended the monitoring program, but that doesn't mean you're still not doing monitoring, correct?
That is correct, yes.
I mean, you've got all the equipment to do it.
Right. I do indoor and outdoor testing for real estate sales and people who just want to find out why they're not feeling well at home, and do outdoor counts. As I actually did some this morning.
And what were the numbers showing this morning?
Well, this morning we're starting to pick up. We had a little dip, but let's go back a couple of weeks before we talk about this morning.
Because okay.
About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were running real high with ragweed, grasses. We passed through the olive season, but we started hitting mulberry, which peaked out on the 17th. We had few weeds out there, and then a lot of pine. I mean, it was just everything was out there, Italian cypress. And that kind of, we had this cold snap.
Yeah.
And so
Bit of rain.
Yeah, so that kind of slowed things down. But now that we're getting this little warming trend with these little warm breezes, that's perfect. And now all the Palo Verde are coming around well. We've still got some mulberry out there, but we can see the green, yellow, Palo Verde, they're totally photosynthetic. I mean, their bark is green, too. So it's going to be, they're not in a top tier of allergens, but nonetheless, they make up for it in terms of numbers of pollen grains rather than the strength of the individual like ragweed. So we're going to have a lot of that. We're going to have a lot of mesquite this year, too.
790-2040, are you suffering this spring from allergies? I would be curious to hear from you, and so would Dr. Sneller, about what you are doing to tackle your issues. What do most people do? Just kind of grin and bear it, Dr. Sneller?
Yeah, pretty much grin and bear it, but there are some things that you can do.
What can you do?
Well, if you're in a high-density area with all kinds of Palo Verde around and mesquite around, you don't want to track that pollen into your house, because then you're going to have an indoor problem as well as an outdoor problem. I've monitored homes that have 10,000 mulberry pollen grains inside the house.
You're kidding. How the heck did they get in?
Because they get tracked in, because the pollen is on the walkways, and you walk in, and then you track it in, and now in your filtration system, you run it or you don't run it, but it's not adequate enough. So you take off your shoes at the door, and I'm saying if this is always a good deal, but if you're in a high-density area, for example, it's pretty hard to miss Palo Verde, but the areas like the northeast up of our part of our city, and there's this real high, very, very high-density Palo Verde. It's solid green, but, you know, any of those, all it takes is one gust of wind blowing off one of those trees, and you're driving by, and if you're sensitive to it, you're going to get hit.
Ingrid is with us. Hello, Ingrid. How are you?
Oh, allergy problems.
Okay, talk to Dr. Sneller about it, please.
Right. Dr. Sneller, you're a medical doctor, right?
I am not. I'm a PhD.
Mm-hmm. You're a PhD.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you about symptoms.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I'm not speaking to your specialty is in
area. No, I think he could probably
give it a try. Yeah. Otherwise, you can refer to my my book, Greener, Cleaner Indoor Air, which covers all of these issues for the layperson. It's the best book for the layperson ever written.
Okay, go ahead.
This has to do with, you know, we complain about watery eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when the fluid is sticky, is that normal?
Hmm.
And if it has a slight fragrance to it, is that normal?
I don't know. I don't know about that one. I don't know. Maybe you're down on your fluids. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Ingrid.
Yeah.
Can't help you with that one. The sticky fluid that has a particular scent. All right. What about mold? Has that been a problem this year?
No. Generally, like January and February are the lowest mold months of the year.
Hmm.
Then we start to see a slow increase as we go through the season. And then we get into, of course, then we start in on the monsoons. That's when things really jump. And instead of running maybe 100 or 200 or 300 counts on the mold, we'll be up to 3,000 or 4,000. So, you know, each home and area has this microbial shell around it, if you will. So every area, every home is unique. But right now, mold, I don't see that as an issue unless there's an isolated case or if you have a water problem inside of your home, all that kind of a deal. But outdoors, I don't see that as a problem. Right now, pollen is our enemy.
Now, do you believe that your recent illness was allergy induced at all?
Oh man, that was something. I don't.
What the heck did you have? Yeah, we wanted you on the show about a week ago, and usually you're very available for us. But you said, "Bill, it's impossible."
Yeah,
for
I'd
me
be
to
coughing.
Go.
I got the doctor said I had pneumonia in one lung, and I was coughing, and then I went to my accountant. And right after that, and he said I owed the IRS some money.
Oh.
So then I had to go home and cheer up, so I watched 4 episodes of The Walking Dead. I felt much better after that. Now I'm good.
Yeah. But you don't think the pneumonia could have been brought on by some kind of allergy?
I don't know. I think it was viral, apparently. A lot of it is going around, not some of it. It's not infrequent now.
So you're really into this the writing thing. I mean, the last time we saw you, you were talking about Toxic Exposure.
Mm-hmm.
It had just been released. Now this is the follow-up to Toxic Exposure?
It's a follow-up. It's the same characters. It's available now on Amazon. I wouldn't get this particular issue. I'd wait a couple, 3 months till we come out with another edition of it that's all revised and revamped to where I'm totally satisfied with it.
Is it the same character?
Same character. He's a university professor, somewhat eccentric, I might add, but he's kind of the only good guy in the story. The rest of them are either terrorists or they're crazy husbands or crazy housewives. There's crooked lawyers, doctors, mold experts. Everybody's crooked except for this one guy. You know, I can't imagine who that would be.
So how often do you write?
I write every day. I write every day. Yeah, and I'm working on a third book too.
Yeah. Where did this come from? Have you always had that, you think, in your wanted to do this?
Yeah. I started writing when I was 12, and I was very embarrassed when I would show my one-page stories to my teacher in junior high school, and she'd make me stand up in front of the class and read it, and it was very embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it continued, and I continued forever and ever. And then I did this, wrote a newspaper column for a number of newspapers for 15 years, a 500-word column every week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I just kept on writing, and I had all these stories that I'd written and novels, and I said, why don't I just go ahead and you know, put them together, have them professionally edited and put together into some books and get them out there and have some fun.
Do you make house calls? Do you come out and do assessments in homes?
I do all the time, yeah.
And that's part of your company, Aero Allergen Research.
Correct.
What do you typically find in the home?
It depends on why. Some people just want to know what's wrong with their home.
Maybe a sick home, as they say.
Yeah. It could be a lot of things. It could be vehicular exhaust coming into the house because the garage is connected to the laundry room door. They leave the door open, or they got a lot of fragrance products. They're totally into fragrances and perfumes, and yet they don't understand why their son has asthma attacks. And or they have water leakage and there's mold growing back somewhere. They can't see it or they can't see it. There's a whole variety of things. Or they have an indoor pollen problem, such as we alluded to before. So, you know, people, you know, our homes are not, you know, there's always room for improvement.
Well, I'm sensitive to dust. You know, I think I'm not alone living here in Tucson, Arizona. It's a problem with a lot of people.
Yeah, dust. If you look at it microscopically, and this is what I do. I do all my own work. Uh-huh. But dust, it has 50 to 100 different components to it. And a lot of them are plant parts. A lot of them are insect parts. I mean, there's all kinds of things.
So in like
things.
A particle of dust, there could be dozens of little parts?
Yeah.
That's
it's not just kind of dirt. I mean, there's, you know, there's humus, there's degraded biological entities that are out there. Some of them came from outer space.
Pretty soon, everything. Everything in the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. You look at it under the microscope, and it can be pretty interesting.
All right. Dr. Mark Sneller, our guest, and if you want to check out his books, go to Amazon.com, and it's Sneller, S-N-E-L-L-E-R. Just do a Google search on Dr. Sneller. So glad you're feeling better.
Yes.
And we'll reconnect here as the season gets going.
I look
going.
Forward to
Thank
it,
you
Bill.
Very
Thank
much.
You as always.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, buddy.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. It is the Buckmaster Show. Hard to believe that the tax season is quickly winding down. It's probably not so hard for my guest, Michael C. Flowers, certified public accountant of the CPA firm Flowers and Rieger and Associates. This is the busiest time of year. Michael, good to see you.
Great to see you, Bill.
It is a very busy time of year for certified public accountants, and you certainly are no exception. But this is really the time of year you kind of get your juices going.
Well, it's good for us because not only are we dealing with 2016, but now we have an opportunity to do some tax savings and some tax plans for 2017. And there are still some things you can do for 16. Probably one of the most important one for most people is the Arizona state tax credits for assistance to public education and private education. They've now allowed those deductions, those credits actually, to still be deductible on the 16 return up until April 18th is the new tax return due date. So if you're going to fund state credits like a tuition support organization, which is up to a couple of $1,000, if you write that check before April 18th and claim that it was a 2016 deduction, if you happen to owe the state $2,000 and you did this program for $2,000, you get a dollar-for-dollar credit off your state tax return.
So that's a really good deal. And it's not just the schools. I've been doing some interviews with a group,
right,
some of the nonprofit organizations.
Right. And it works for foster care, and it works for the working poor. So there are a number of charities. You know, you're welcome to call our office if you're not too familiar with which ones qualify. We have a little email that has the various charities and how much you can do and can't do. Be happy to share that with your listeners.
And if you even just Google Flowers, Tucson, Arizona, your name's going to pop up. The firm is going to pop up. So if they,
yeah, fortunately or unfortunately, we've had people call and ask how much is a dozen roses.
But oh my,
that's
goodness.
Another story.
No, that is another story. So we got the new date we're working with. Certainly, that's, you know, the normal April 15th has been delayed a couple of days. So you get a little time.
You get it. It's an unusual because I think the tax deadline is Sunday. It's on a weekend, but there's one extra day because of something going on.
So it's really April 18th this year.
Right. So it's a few more days, but we try not to tell anybody that
because
there's no reason to not get it done by April 15th if you're close to April 15th.
Michael, what are we hearing about these delayed refunds? A new law that may delay refunds for some low to moderate income taxpayers?
I think that's pretty much was starting at the beginning of the season. In the past, there were a lot of people claiming earned income credits and taxable refunds, and many people were making up fraudulent returns saying they made $25,000, had $5,000 withheld, and get a $5,000 refund. IRS finally has wised up and says, let's wait till we hear from the employers to make sure that your W-2 is in fact accurate. So payroll tax returns are all due by January 31st, so no refunds, I don't think, were issued until after the IRS could at least try to match up some of the millions of tax returns that obviously claim wages.
790-2040. We could take a couple of questions from Michael C. Flowers. A lot of people are very worried about security. When you go to a firm like Flowers and Rieger, can you be assured that your information is going to be secure?
Yeah, we have we spent a lot of money on our server and our emails. All our emails go out secured, and sometimes it's a pain because people have a little bit more difficulty opening them up. But in this business environment, and every time we write a check to the IRS, at most we'll put the last four digits. I think some people make the mistake of putting their full Social Security number on a lot of documents, and you'd never know who's going to be looking at that document, whether it's a banker or who knows? So we are very, very cautious when it comes to identity theft. And as a personal story, my identity was stolen.
What? Yes, I had not heard this, Michael.
Yeah, my identity was stolen in 2015. Somebody filed a return.
Are you kidding? On a CPA?
On a CPA, of all things. And I, of course, you're allowed to get a copy of the return. In the past, the IRS wouldn't even let you get a copy of the fraudulent return, but I did get it didacted with the names and, you know, it was my name and socials, but all the information was fictitious, so I had to get a special P-10, they call it, so that I can file my return electronically going forward. But it held up my refund probably 3 or 4 months.
How did they get your identity?
Anybody knows. If you do a mortgage application, a lot of times you submit your tax return.
Yeah.
So somebody at the mortgage, not implying anything, but that would be one example where anybody who has access to your tax returns in any form has your name and social security number. They may not have your date of birth, but they have the other information.
Can some of my listeners still get in to meet with you before tax day? Can they call the office and say we're a Buckmaster Show listener, we'd like to get in to see you, and perhaps they're worried about cost. Is it that much more expensive to see a CPA?
No, I think generally what you're going to find is that we strive to save you more than you pay us, and in all cases, every time I look at a tax return, I'm proud of how much money we save our clients. And most importantly, we get it right, because we see returns from other non-CPA preparers that, not fraudulent, but they're just terrible, and they're costing the clients money, and we wind up amending the returns, getting money back. So I think it's one of your better investments to invest in a CPA. We're more than ready to accept new clients. We have enough staff on board. We do have a number of returns in, but we can get the return done provided the client has most of their information, or all their information, actually.
And you are centrally located. You're right off Broadway and the Country Club area.
I'm coming up on 30 years there. Yeah. This is my 40th year of practice, Bill, which is scary.
Wow. Somehow. And as a child, you knew you wanted to be a CPA?
I was just good at mathematics, and they said go into accounting and go into I didn't know what certified public accountants were when I was a child in New York City, but very, very glad to have had the career and enjoy the career that I have. And we got a wonderful staff, and you know, like yourself, we do a lot of things within the community, and just really love Tucson.
Well, we appreciate your support here. You are the Buckmaster Show CPA, and you do a great job. We try to promote you in every way we can.
Bill, I appreciate that, and I love hearing from your listeners, and they're always more educated and know a little bit more than the average bear, if you would.
So some of the common tax mistakes, you got to have the proper records, right, to start with?
Yeah. Don't just be making up stuff. About 70% of your return, in most cases, the IRS already knows the answers to, because they have a W-2. They know how much interest income you had from the bank. They know what your dividends are. They know how much you paid for your mortgage. They know what stocks you sold and at what prices. So all this information is sort of centralized at the IRS. So if you start making up numbers where they already have a number, it's about a 99% chance that you're going to get a notice saying, you know, the mortgage interest statement said $10,000. Had you come up with $22,000? So, and you don't want to be embarrassed or caught in a fraudulent situation. Sometimes there are mathematical errors, or there's, geez, I had two mortgages, et cetera, but we're very, very careful in matching the data that we have, and we already know the IRS has it.
How about your company retirement plan?
I think it's a great idea for those that, if you're not fortunate enough to own a business or have some of the tax deductions that are available to business owners, you should certainly take advantage of your company's 401k or any plans where they match your money. Even if they match 3%, a lot of companies will match the first 3%. If you put away 3% of your salary, you're actually doubling your money. And there's not many investments out in the world that you can double your money instantaneously. So if I put $3,000 away in my retirement plan and the employer matches that, I have 100% return on my money. And if I don't put the $3,000 in, then there's no match in some cases.
All right, Michael C. Flowers with the CPA firm Flowers, Rieger & Associates. They're located at 2919 East Broadway, very conveniently located, kind of midtown area. And again, if anyone has a question, perhaps they've been thinking about a CPA, I strongly recommend Mike's work. And he, if you get, call the office, and Mike will get you in.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy, John. I'll talk to you on the phone and be more than happy. And if you just have a question, I'm on such and such a form as a courtesy to Bill and his listeners. We just want to make sure you're getting the best tax advice and the best tax deductions you're legally entitled to.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will help out Mike on that show this afternoon from 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9. Our show, our newest show called Talking Culture from 9 to 10. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow for our Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.